Joining me, as he usually does, is WGBH Arts editor Jared Bowen. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, our first stop this morning is the Museum of Fine Arts, where there are two exhibits you'd like to tell us about.
Yeah, and you can spend a lot of time and should spend a lot of time with both. The first is John Singer Sargent Watercolors, which is on view through January 20th. And I think a lot of people are familiar with John Singer Sargent, especially in Boston, because this was his American home to a large measure. And he's known for his portraiture, of course, around the turn of the century and late 1800s. He was the go-to guy for painting the upper crust society and in all of their lush fabrics. And that's really where we can marvel at Sargent for the way he portrays silks and skirts and faces. But he really tired of that. He tired of getting these commissions and having to paint these portraits over and over again and not having complete artistic license. So for his own proclivities and his own indulgences, he painted watercolors, and he went to Europe to do that. So we see this fascinating, really spectacular array of watercolors at the Museum of Fine Arts show. Starting with Venice, the city that he loved. He called it his fountain of youth. We see him go up into the Italian Alps. We see him go to the Middle East. He went to Jordan. And again, he was doing these watercolors for himself on his own time. And so we see his own personality. We see his talent. We really see him flourish in this medium.
So his work in watercolor was really very liberating for him.
It really was. And in large measure, this is a Boston story. He was able to do this because he had the commission to do the Boston Public Library murals. So that gave him the time to travel. It gave him the money to travel. And so he was doing these watercolors. And finally, a friend of his, actually a Boston man, Edward Darley Boyd, we see his daughters in a very famous Sargent portrait upstairs at the Museum of Fine Arts, persuaded Sargent to sell these watercolors. The first batch went to the Brooklyn Museum of Art, which is the collaborator in this exhibition. And the second batch went to the Museum of Fine Arts. He knew at this point that they were going to be sold to the museum, so he finished them more than he did the other batch. He signed them. So we see more of his heart there. And this is, for the first time, we see both of these batches of portraits together as these two museums have come together for this collection. And my one tip here is you've got to run up close, see how marvel at his technique, and then walk back and really, wow, really marvel at what he's able to do.
Because watercolor is challenging. I mean, once the paint's on the paper, it's kind of hard to change what's there. So it's...
Yeah, one friend described it like watching somebody at a piano. He worked that fast.
Well, given all, you know, he's so famous for these portraits, when he was, you know, given the time to paint what he wanted to, what subjects did he paint?
He painted, actually, one thing that he painted a lot of sunlight. Sargent loved to paint white on white. So we see him go to the Carrara marble quarries in Italy. And, of course, you see this white marble. You see the bright sun shining down. And so here he is painting white on a white canvas, and it's one of the most mystifying things I think you'll ever see.
Wow. John Singer Sargent at the MFA. And next we turn to a photography exhibit at the MFA, which is most fascinating.
This is called She Who Tells a Story, and it's women photographers from Iran and the Arab world. And you have 12 photographers here, and what the MFA is trying to tell in this exhibition is the stories of these women, that they're not necessarily as oppressed and have their liberties and freedoms taken away as we might assume because of Western media, Western narratives. Of course, you know, there are a lot of problems in the Middle East. We're not skirting issues here. But these are 12 women who are able to photograph and act as journalists and create art without having the government come down on them. Hmm. And one of the artists who I was able to talk to is Bushra Almatawakel, and she has done a series, Mother-Daughter Doll. And here she explains what her series tells.
So many women who are extraordinary and strong, doctors, lawyers, artists, you know, philosophers, they wear the veil, but it's just become such an iconic image, and you know, they've focused so much on the veil and forgotten the person underneath, you know, unfortunately. So hopefully by doing this kind of work and having this kind of an exhibit, we can, you know, maybe show them another side.
So there's also a local artist featured as well.
Yeah, and I should just mention, just to clarify a little bit of what she's talking about, that series that Bushra is talking about, she has, it's her daughter, and this doll, and they're progressively, over a series of photographs, become more and more covered by the veil until they completely disappear.
Oh, I've seen that, actually. Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's a very famous image.
Wow.
But yeah, there's also a great local artist, Rania Matar. who's done this series of girls in their bedrooms. And she started talking to young women, teenage women, and she found that, the place that they are most comfortable is in their bedroom. It's it's sort of their cave. It's where they can, you know, put up their pictures and have their makeup and their music.
The girl cave.
And she is, exactly. And she's doing this and suddenly realizes, she's doing this in her native Lebanon, and realizes that these women are no different from who she was 30 years ago, despite how much has happened in that country and civil war and everything else that has unfolded. So, as I said, it's 12 different women, 12 different stories, and each of them has a very, very compelling narrative.
So two exhibits, both at the MFA, which people should take advantage of. That's great. Next, we turn to the much-anticipated and long-awaited arrival of Andres Nelsons at the BSO.
Finally, our new music director. We missed him this summer after he accidentally walked into a door, had a concussion, so couldn't conduct at Tanglewood. This is his first series of concerts that start tonight and go through Saturday at Symphony Hall. Excuse me. And we see him finally fully emerge here as he is the new music director designate, fully takes over next year. He had a press conference earlier this week, and he talked about, as he has in the past, everybody describes his physicality up in the podium and how energetic he is, which of course is in great contrast to James Levine, who we saw wither over his years. But Andres Nelsons really believes in sort of the psychology and diplomacy in terms of working with his orchestra. Here's what he had to say.
I think it's nice to explore and to experience what they're offering, and then together with my ideas, gradually getting the sound, the atmosphere, what I imagine the music requires. But I think it's getting through this humanly opened way of communicating.
Now, you mentioned that he is not a stranger to the BSO, right? He's conducted them before.
No, he has conducted before, and he knows the orchestra, and he's going to work in, I think, a very slow and methodical way. He's not going to come in and do anything radical. There will be no major changes. He is interested in contemporary artists and contemporary composers, but we're not going to see that right away. I mean, he talked at the press conference about his love of people that he grew up with in his region, in Latvia, which is Rachmaninoff and Shostakovich. And Wagner. And so we're going to see his personality emerge, but it's going to be slowly, and it's going to be, I think, a nice settling in period with the BSO.
All right. And finally, we have a brief review of the film The Fifth Estate.
Yeah, it's not great.
Okay, that's that.
The Fifth Estate is this new movie that's coming out tomorrow. It's about Julian Assange, who, of course, is the founder of WikiLeaks. And my problem with the film is that it really just glides over the surface. You don't really get a sense of how he came to cultivate these sources that would unveil, that would bring him the unveiling of major documents about the Afghan war and diplomatic cables. You don't really get a sense of his own personality until this weird coda at the end. And his personality is, he's a very conflicted person. You know, there are questions about his ethics. He's in an Ecuadorian ambassador's residence in London right now because he's trying to skirt charges about his abuse of women. And so none of that is really dealt with in the film. It's just very, very surface. It never really plunges down, which is unfortunate because you have Benedict Cumberbatch starring as him, you know, one of our great contemporary actors, but it just does not work.
All right, there you go. Okay, and tomorrow night we have Open Studio.
Yes, well, with the government shut down, no more. You can go back to the JFK Library. We just so happened this Friday we're featuring the Cuban Missile Crisis show there. You'll also see the Andy Warhol show, which we recently talked about at the Rose Art Museum. And then Tina Sutton has written a biography, The Making of Markova, about famed British dancer Alicia Markova. It's a great read, and Tina's a great person, and Alicia Markova is a fascinating subject.
All right, all on Open Studio tomorrow night at 8:30 on WGBH2. Thank you so much, Jared, and we'll see you next Thursday.
All right, thanks, Bob.
And you're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition.